Om Shri Sai Ram. We offer our most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners and viewers, we welcome you to this episode of the Satsang series that we now started doing on Thursdays. The last time Arvind and I were here to talk about a very important festival, the festival of Dashara, which has been celebrated in Prashanthi Nilayam from the early 1940s. This time, we are welcoming the month of November, another very important month for all of us. Of course, we don't have to tell you why it is so important and what is the speciality of this month. But nevertheless, it is a pleasure to join you all from the centers at the Sri Satya Sai Media Center with a new satsang, and needless to say, you all know what the topic is going to be. But before we speak directly about the various points that we want to share with all of you, let's invite Brother Arvind, and I will let him start the satsang today. Sai Ram Arvind.
Sai Ram Prem and Sai Ram to all our viewers. I'm reminded of a story that had a very deep impact on me, and even to this day it keeps inspiring me. It is a story of a man, a devotee of God, who had a very interesting dream one night. Now, in his dream, God comes to him and asks him, "Can you do a favor for me?" And being a devotee of God, he says, "Definitely, God. Whatever makes you happy will be a command for me. So, you just have to state it. I will do anything for you." And God says, "Tomorrow morning when you wake up, outside your door, there will be one rock. It will be a fairly large-sized rock. I want you to push it for me. Can you do that for me?" And this man says, "Of course, I will push the rock for you." God says, that'll be it. That's all. That much you can do for me, I'll be very happy." And the next morning when the man wakes up, you know, he recollects his dream and he is so thrilled that finally he has got an opportunity to do something for God. That is every devotee's desire, right? To be able to do something for God. And here, God himself has asked him to do something. So he rushes out of his bed to the main door, opens it, and sure enough, there is that big rock that God had referred to in the dream. Right away, this man gets to the task. You know, he starts pushing at the rock. He pushes and pushes and pushes, but realizes that how much ever he is pushing the rock, it's not moving one bit. This goes on, but he is not a man to give up easily. Swami says that devotee's lakshana, or the quality of a devotee, is such that having determined something, he will never let go of determination. Either he will collapse from the effort or he will achieve his determination. That is the determination of a devotee. So with that determination, he continues morning, evening, till he goes to bed at night. Next day morning, gets up, again continues, and this goes on for several days. Days turn to weeks, weeks turn to months. But yet, that rock has not moved one inch. Finally, you know, this man is on the verge of giving up. And when he's about to give up, he gets another dream that night where God comes again. And this time, it is a man who is doing the talking. He says, "God, this is very unfair." God says, "What is unfair?" He says, "You know, you told me to push that rock, but it's of no use pushing the rock." God says, "Why do you say so?" He says, "Because, God, it has not even moved an inch." God then says, "But I never wanted to move it." And in the dream, he sees God just moving the rock and saying that, "See, if I wanted to move it, I can move it. I didn't want you to move it. Then I wanted you to push it. What is the use of that, God?" God says, "There is a lot of use. You think that the rock has not moved one inch, but that was not the purpose at all. Just have a look at your biceps." And the man looks at his biceps and they're strong. "Look at your triceps. Look at your calf muscles. Look at your stomach. How it has gone in. You have become so fit." The man is in a state of pleasant shock because this is a revelation for him. And God tells him that the purpose for which I told you to push the rock is not to move it. It is in order to build you, and my purpose has been achieved. What I like in this story is two things. The first thing is, like the man in the story, all of us think that we know the purpose behind different things that we are doing. Not only what we are doing for God, whatever we are doing in life, we think that we know the purpose behind it. when we don't. And the second interesting point is, like God in that story, God in our life too tells us to do many things which we think is something that will benefit God. But that's not the case. Whatever God tells us to do is for our own benefit. So point number one is that, like the man in the story, we think we know the purpose behind what we do when we don't. Point number two, like God in the story, God gives us different things to do for our benefit and not for God. And I feel these two thoughts are very, very important at this point of time in the year.
Absolutely. You know, we are set to celebrate Swami's birthday, and it's of course a very important birthday. It's the 95th birthday. But if you really look at it, you know, as you were saying, Swami allowed us to celebrate his birthday. Swami allowed us to observe his birthday, and I think every birthday discourse, if you were to go and look at it, Swami will say that, I am birthless. I was never born. I was always present, right? Because that is the description of God. God is birthless and it's beyond time. But that being the case, he still allowed us to celebrate his birthday. It does not mean that he wanted his birthday to be celebrated. There was a purpose behind it. But really looking at it, you know, as you were saying, the other larger idea behind the story is, it's so important to understand the purpose of some things for us to be able to apply ourselves completely to that task, right? Mm. The case of that story is, a misunderstanding of the purpose led to frustration, right? Even though the command is coming from God himself. Probably a different topic, just a different example. You know, nowadays we use paper as money. I still recall the first time when I was reading some book in general knowledge where they were talking about the evolution of money. So they said first gold was used as money. In fact, even before gold, rice grains was used as money for transaction. Then there came gold and came silver and became copper. And then finally it said, I think the Chinese were the first to use paper as money. When I read that, I said, how ridiculous. How can you use paper as money? And then it struck me, that's what we do, right? Mm. So the paper that we hold is still a paper. It does not have more worth than what it is. But we give it a purpose which is larger than what its real value is. And sometimes when you forget that, you will treat it like a piece of paper. Many of the old devotees who had the opportunity to travel with Swami would say that one of the scenes that they've seen many times is when Swami is driving through some cities or maybe village roads, Swami will always look out for people who are, who need money, who are needy, so that Swami can give them something. A little bit of money. And invariably, when Swami would call somebody and give them some money, Swami would tell them, be careful, that is not 10 rupees, that is 100 rupees. Mm. You know, use it carefully. One of the beautiful incident I recall is when Swami had gone to Bombay for the drama of the Bhajagovindam drama. Apparently, Swami was stuck in a traffic with the boys in a bus at 10:30 in the night. Oh. Right? Because Swami had gone for sightseeing and come back. And in that traffic jam, one lady walked up to Swami's window. I mean, what are the chances? You walk up to a vehicle, that vehicle has happened to have Swami in it, and you walk up right to the window where Swami was sitting. And she put out a hand. And Swami said, but I don't have a pocket, Swami always says. And then Swami looked around, I think Mr. Kamani was there next to Swami, the great devotee of Swami, and he pulled out immediately a 100 rupee note and gave it to Swami. And then Swami gave it to that lady and Swami said, Amma, 100 rupees. Get some food for yourself, get something for your children. And oftentimes Swami would do this because they might be unlettered people. There are sometimes visually impaired beggars. So Swami made it a point to tell them that this is what it is. If you really look at the human life itself, the human life, this body, is actually mammalian, right? It's an animal body. There are parts of the brain which they say is still reptilian. Right? It's so primitive in that sense. So we are like that currency paper, right? But there is an intended value to it. If we don't look at that, we will run the risk of taking paper currency to be paper and not currency. And that's the danger we always run. And just like how Swami would do to these poor people who came up to him, saying that this is the value of what I'm giving you, keep it careful. I think the same thing Swami did for all of us, not merely by telling us, not merely by going up to a podium and giving a discourse, which he always did. But I think the Lord himself took a human form to show us how much can be done with a human form. How much purposeful a human life could be made. The life that Swami we are talking about, celebrating, is an avataric life. But the message is for you and me. For every human life, that's a message.
Absolutely. In fact, we often think that the purpose of life is to gather money, gather relationships, gather power. And we spend almost our entire life going behind these things. And in some cases, towards the end of life, we realize that we have gathered nothing. You know, in that sense, we have totally mistaken the purpose of life. And like you rightly said, like Swami pointed out the value of the currency note, Swami points out the value of human life to us. And I think the purpose of His advent, His birth, is to show us the purpose of our own birth. And He did it with His life being His message. You know, that is the beautiful thing about Swami. He never said what has to be done. He always did what has to be done. And what He did was backed by what He is. Swami says that leadership is not about telling. It's about doing. But even before doing, it's about being. Be, do, tell, He says. And that is the perfect example Swami was and is. You know, I'm reminded of one beautiful episode. One of the first examples that I got to witness as His student. In the year 1998, I had joined 11th grade. And those years, before the Grama Seva was started, there used to be a massive Narayan Seva that would be held in the grounds, right, in the Hillview Stadium, before the week.
I think of 18th of November or
18th or 17th, I don't remember.
Right.
Because 18th used to be Rathotsavam. Maybe 18th morning or 17th, there used to be this Narayan Seva. So, it was the first time I would be witnessing a Narayan Seva, and I was very excited. I had a camera with me, and because of that, I enjoyed the privilege of being able to be wherever that Swami was going. So the whole ground was filled with Narayanas. That is how Swami would refer to them. He would frown upon anybody calling them as the poor people, or He would call them Narayanas. Means Lord Narayana in human form. They were all seated, the ladies on one side, the gents on one side. And a carpet had been laid out for Bhagwan to walk amidst them. And Swami's car came. Swami came in that red Mercedes-Benz car, and even as the door opened, there were a few students who rushed to Swami with another carpet to lay this carpet from Swami's door, wherever He gets down, till the carpet that has already been laid out. You know, that's the kind of attention to detail. But that day, Swami got down from the car and He didn't walk to the ground. He walked off the carpet and He walked to the area below the gents' galleries. You know, the gents' galleries are there to view the stadium. Under those galleries are huge open areas, shaded, sheltered areas. And this was the area where all the food had been kept. And you know, when you're feeding like 40, 50,000 people, the food can't be kept in vessels. So, mats had been put on the cleaned floor. And on the mat, there were heaps of food. You know, little mountains. For me, it was a revelation. Because when Swami walked there, I also went there. And I suddenly saw four mountains. And I didn't know what these mountains were because they were not kept open. They were covered with mats again. So, I just saw four mountain mats. I mean, four mat mountains. And I wondered, what was this? Then, seeing a few groundnuts on the floor, I realized, oh, this is the food that's going to be served. And Swami came in to ask about the quality of the food. Anticipating this, they had kept two silver bowls ready in which the food was there, and they offered it to Bhagwan because it was practice that Swami would taste that food, you know. But what Swami did that day, even to this day, you know, when I think of it, it's so moving because Swami just ignored those silver bowls, walked up to one of those mountains. He opened, flipped open the mat, picked up a handful of that chitrannam, the tamarind rice, put it in his mouth, it and said, it's good. And he covered back the mat. You know, Prem, we know of ancient times where the kings would have tasters. Whatever food is served to the king would be tasted by people to check for its quality, check for its safety, everything, and then only the king would eat. Here, before feeding those Narayanas, was the king of kings, the emperor of emperors, tasting the food. And you know, after that only Swami went and He began to serve them. It was such an eye-opener, and it shows why Swami's life is His message. You know, He did, and then He spoke about how it should be done. That is why, you know, when Swami says as to how Narayan Seva should be done, it is so impactful, because that is how he has shown as example. In fact, I think rather than we speak about what Swami says, how ideal Narayan's seva should be done, let us listen to it in Swami's own words, of course, accompanied by some delightful visuals of Swami serving the Narayanas during the birthday Narayan seva.
This is a Christian Society chairman of the California.
We're getting all our music.
This is a big box. My director.
Swami urges one and all to see God in everyone, especially the poor. That is why he never refers to it as poor feeding, but as Narayana Seva, which means service to Lord Narayana. This was in fact the message Bhagavan gave during the concluding discourse of the Second World Conference, which he delivered on the evening of the 21st of November.
Narayana Seva nimittamai manam aneka rakamuluga konta prog chesi బీదలకు దరిద్ర నారాయణకు పంచటము అన్నము అన్నదానం చేయటము అత్యవసరమని కూడా వారు కొంత సలహాలు ఇచ్చారు.
ఇట్ హాస్ బిన్ సెడ్ ఇన్ ది మార్నింగ్ దట్ ఫర్ ది సేక్ ఆఫ్ కండక్టింగ్ నారాయణ సేవ ఇట్ ఈస్ నెసెసరీ ఫర్ కలెక్టింగ్ సమ్ మనీ ఆర్ కలెక్టింగ్ సమ్ ఫుడ్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూట్ ఇట్ టు ది పువర్ పీపుల్.
లోకంలో బీదవారైనటువంటి వారు ఎవరుంటున్నారు? లోకంలో ధనవంతులైనటువంటి వారు ఎవరు?
హూ ఆర్ ది పువర్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్? హూ ఆర్ ది రిచ్ పీపుల్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్?
హీ హూ హ్యాస్ మచ్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ ఈజ్ ది రిచెస్ట్ మ్యాన్. Man in this world, he has much desires, he's the poorest man. Kanuka bidavariki daridra narayana seva antaru, poor feeding antaru. Kani aa padamulu kuda nu sariga ledu, idi English padamulo chaala tappainatundi padamulu.
When we talk of narayana seva, we use the word poor feeding. This is not a correct way of describing.
Feeding chestunnam danni kuda poor ga cheyatama, enta daridram.
We undertake to feed people. Are we going to feed them in a poor manner? We feed the poor people. It is the feeding of the poor.
Neevu palikeetundi paliku daritra narayana seva ani.
What you say is that you are feeding the poor people or daritra narayana seva.
Narayanudiga evaru? Daiva swarupudu.
The word narayana there represents the embodiment of God.
నీవు నిత్యము కూడాను నీ యొక్క ఆరాధన మందిరం నందు దైవమునకు కొంత నైవేద్యం సల్పుతూ ఉంటావు.
ఎవ్రీ డే ఇన్ యువర్ ఓన్ పూజా రూమ్ యు మేక్ ఎన్ ఆఫరింగ్ టు ది గాడ్.
ఆ విధముగా చేసేదానికంటే కూడా నిత్యము నీ వండుటకు పూర్వము మీ ఇంటిలో ఇల్లాల వండుటకు పూర్వము ఒక పిటికడ అడుగులు లేక పిటికడ బియ్యము ఈ స్వామి యొక్క భిక్ష అని ఒక ప్రకటన తీసిపెట్టిన చేత ఒక్క వారములకు కూర్చున్నటువంటి ఈ బియ్యం అంతా కూడాను ఒక్కొక్క సాయి భక్తులంతా చేర్చి ఒక్కొక్క వారములకు ఒక పర్యాయము ఇలాంటి దరిద్ర నారాయణ సేవ చేయడంలో సరి అయినటువంటి మార్గంగా ఉంటుంటారు.
In the place of your making an offering in the puja room to God, while you go into the kitchen, when you begin cooking your food, set aside a handful of rice every day before you start cooking your own food, and every week this will accumulate into a certain quantity of rice which can be used for the purpose of feeding the poor people. And if you have the feeling that this handful of rice is being offered for the sake of Swami, that itself will accumulate into a large quantity.
ఒక పర్యాయము పది సేర్లు లేక 20 సేర్లు బియ్యం ఇచ్చి నీ వండించి వారికి పెట్టుటకు శక్తి లేకపోవచ్చును.
ఇట్ ఈస్ పాసిబుల్ దట్ యు మే నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు బ్రింగ్ అబౌట్ 10 సేర్స్ ఆర్ 20 సేర్స్ ఆఫ్ రైస్ అట్ వన్ ఇన్స్టెంట్ ఆఫ్ టైం.
కనుక మనం ఇంటింటికి వెళ్లి కానీ లేక ఒక బలవంతంతోనైనా కానీ మనం ధనములు ప్రోగు చేసుకునేటువంటి విషయంలో మాత్రం సత్యసాయి సంస్థలు ఏమాత్రం కూడా అడుగు వేయకూడదని కఠినమైనటువంటి శాసనం.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ statement that none of the Sathya Sai organizations or members of the Sathya Sai organizations should go from house to house collecting and asking for money.
Sathya Sai yokka samaveshamlo chennatundi sabhyulantaru kuda big beggars ani cheppinanti padam maatram cheyakoodadu.
Never bring the reputation of saying that members of the Sathya Sai organization are all big beggars.
Beautiful, isn't it? Those visuals that we saw were taken from the Golden Jubilee birthday celebrations, the 50th birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba in 1975. You know, Prem, those years, that year especially, 1975, 50th birthday was very, very special. It was in that year that the Sri Sathya Sai Gokulam was inaugurated. And even the police station that we see in Puttaparthi, in the run-up to the birthday, Swami went and inaugurated the police station. Not just that, the Gopuram gate, you know, that has become iconic and that stands for Prashanthi Nilayam. That Gopuram gate was inaugurated during the 50th birthday celebrations week. In fact, the Rathotsavam celebration, the Rathotsavam ritual, if I may say so, started again in 1975 during the 50th birthday. That apart, in the 10 days leading up to the birthday, Swami delivered almost 9 discourses. Because there was the World Conference, there was a Sevadal Conference, the second Sevadal Conference, if I am not mistaken. There was a conference of Balvika students and children. That apart, I think probably on one of those rare occasions, maybe if not the only occasion, when a yagna was conducted during birthday, the Purushottama Yagna was conducted during the birthday and the Purnahuti was there. So many things happened. I think we can have an entire satsang on only the 50th birthday. But one very unique, iconic thing that got inaugurated on Swami's 50th birthday was the Sarvadharma Aikya Stupa. Now the story behind that is also so phenomenal and beautiful. The groundbreaking ceremony happened on the September 17th, 1975. That is barely 2 months before the birthday.
Right.
And Swami entrusted this responsibility to Brigadier S.K. Bose, you know, the father of Colonel Bose, who is now the curator of the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum. So Brigadier S.K. Bose was an engineer and he was given this responsibility. And you know who was his task force? The devotees. The devotees joined in. See, that is a beautiful thing. Swami has got all of his institutions built not just with professionals, but with people who have a heart who want to do. Swami invested in people more than the infrastructure or any other professionalism. And so the devotees actually dug for the foundation 9 feet deep pit. And then it was filled with a special soil that had been brought on which the concrete foundation would be laid.
Mm-hmm.
This took 3 days. And when that happened, that very night it began to rain. At first, it brought joy because, you know, when you want to start a new venture, the first rains actually bring joy. It is like a sign of benediction and grace. But Brigadier Bose got worried as the rainfall began to get heavier and heavier. And it began to pour cats and dogs, as they say. He kept awake in his room, wondering when the rain would stop. It kept pelting down and he was awake till 3 in the morning. Because the rain didn't stop till 3 in the morning. And once the first rays of sun came out, he rushed to the spot to examine the damage, or rather the destruction that it would have wrecked. But to his utter amazement, it was as if there was an invisible umbrella over that pit, you know. None of that soil had been damaged, nothing had happened, and he was simply thrilled and amazed. That is when Swami comes to him and tells him, when anyone takes up a divine task, be assured that nothing will come to impede it. It will go on without any obstruction. That was a thrilling revelation that Swami made to him. Sure enough, in a span of just 60 days, 2 months, the entire construction was complete and the stupa also was inaugurated during the 50th birthday. What a phenomenal birthday indeed.
And truly so. You know, one of the grandest events that occurred in Prashanthi Nilayam. I think the crowds that were seen on that time were phenomenal. Some of the footage that we've seen and we've had the pleasure to share with all of you, you can see there were tents and people staying all around the place, even all around the stupa. There's some interesting facts about the event. Many of our listeners must be familiar with a very famous song which occurs in the movie Shirdi Ke Sai Baba. It's one of the classic movies on the life of Shirdi Baba. The song is Sumaru Manuva. And if you listen to that song, maybe after the satsang you all should go and listen to it, you will realize that that song actually speaks about this Sarvadharma Stupa. In fact, those are the lines, you know, contemplate your mind on the beautiful message that these 5 symbols teach you, right?
The 5 symbols on the Sarvadharma Aikya Stupa.
Right, because the last paragraph, the lines go, Ye stup aikya ka prema dharma ka satya shanti ka dwar. There Shirdi Baba is standing. There is no stupa there. Because, dear listeners, the song was actually composed and performed for this particular event of the inauguration of the Sarvadharma Stupa. And it was sung by none other than the great bhajan singer Anup Jalota. In fact, when he performed here in the year 2011, he told us this, you know, in the Kulwant Hall before he started singing, he mentioned this, that he sang this song for the inauguration of the stupa, and thereafter Swami went and told Mr. Manoj Kumar, the director of that movie. And for those of you who are not aware, that movie was actually done under the blessings of Swami, and it was completely produced by a devotee of Swami, and that's how that's an iconic movie. You can just see that movie and you'll feel like you're in Shirdi, you're in the presence of Baba. So Swami went to Manoj Kumar and Swami said the song should be there in the movie, and that's how this song was included. And Anup Jalota in fact says that was how he was launched as a singer, because till then not many knew him. His father was famous, of course. But that was his starting point of a career, which we all know how it skyrocketed. So that was one of the main events, the inauguration. But the other thing about the 50th birthday celebrations, which gave enormous thrill to the devotees who had gathered there, was that Swami, we have seen Swami glide down along the sand giving darshan. That was the first time when they saw Swami glide across the sky, because Swami came in a chopper to give darshan on the morning of Swami's 50th birthday. Swami came on that helicopter. Swami got down a little distance away from the mandir, and Swami walked up to the Sarvadharma Stupa and inaugurated. I know the way I described it means nothing at all, because the way you're going to see it now, how beautifully it is captured as people belonging to the media center. We cannot be grateful enough to the people who have captured these moments and given it to us, right? Us, I mean all of us. They've left it to us so we can see this, relive and enjoy those moments. For the next few minutes, dear listeners and viewers, we would like you to see this wonderful footage of Swami giving darshan in the helicopter and so beautifully, gracefully and grandly walking up and inaugurating the Sarvadharma Aikya Stupa.
Bhagavan knew that if he moved among the massed populace, walking, on a vehicle, or riding on the elephant Sai Gita, only a microscopic fraction of that ocean of humanity could get the darshan, for which they had come from long distances, braving untold hardships. So, he decided to thrill them with this special darshan. On his birthday, Swami also showered the samadhi, or final resting place of his parents, with flowers from the helicopter. Reached a high temple, the devotees were awestruck to see their Lord giving darshan from a helicopter, literally a vision from the skies.
Jai Sai Ram, Jai Sai Ram, Jai Sai Ram, Jai Sai Ram, Jai Sai Ram.
Even as the stupa was inaugurated, a special song composed for the occasion rented the air. It was sung by Sri Anoop Jalota.
So wasn't that phenomenal footage, dear viewers? I think we should take a moment to thank the videographers of those times. I think Dr. Fanny Banda was one of them. Mr. Richard Bock was one of them. Beautiful footage, and also a special mention about the song that was playing as Swami was inaugurating the stupa. It was an English song rendered for Swami's birthday by Anoop Jalota. So if at all, if you're wondering that voice sounds familiar, that's what it is.
The beautiful thing about this stupa is that it stands for the unity and harmony of all religions. But as we have discovered, Prem, when Swami emphasizes on unity, it is with purity. It is with the true spirit of unity. Because as we go through the book, Conversation with Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, recorded again by another great devotee, Dr. John Hislop, in that, in an interview, Hislop tells Swami that there are some people in America who are not very happy with the Sarvadharma symbol. Mm-hmm. And Swami asks, why is it so? He says, they feel that they have been left out and they are not being represented. These are people of the Jewish faith. And then Swami immediately says that there has been no attempt to leave out anybody. It is all inclusive. It is just that in India, it is not so prominent. And often people of the Jewish faith are clubbed with the Christians. Then Swami asks, so sweet, you know, Swami, the way he asks Hislop, he says, does not this cross represent the Jewish faith sufficiently? And Hislop says, no, Swami, there is substantial difference. There is the Star of David, that is the Jewish faith symbol. Swami says, then definitely please make it as a point to be discussed in the agenda. We will go through it and we will approve it. And sure enough, within days, you know, that is the amazing thing about Swami. Such quick decision making also. You know, and decision making with a large heart. So Swami said yes. And that is why for so many years, dear viewers, we had the Sarvadharma symbol of the international organization having 6 symbols rather than 5 symbols. The Sri Satya Sai Organizations India, Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations India had a 5 symbol five petal symbol, while they had a six petal symbol.
Right.
Now, of course, it has been replaced with a five petal symbol embodying the five virtues, human values of Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa, because these are universal across religions. But the point I am making is, whatever Swami says, it is not just about the word and strict adherence to that. It's about the spirit. Swami is never narrow. Swami is so broad-minded. Even when it came to the Sarvadharma, Aikya, the unity of different religions, he meant the unity of all religions. Just because you're able to represent five or six major doesn't mean only those five, six. It is all. And that is another thing that we have to remember, that with Swami, it's always the spirit as well as the letter, not just the letter.
Yeah, in fact, when Swami asked, does not the cross symbolize the Jewish faith enough? You know, what Swami says about the cross is cutting out the ego. How can any religion not be represented by that? I think Swami always has a inner meaning to what he speaks to. Talking about Swami's birthdays, especially the 50th birthday, was one of the grandest. If we really look at our own lives, you know, when we talk about birthdays, birthdays is synonymous with birthday gifts.
Yes.
You're always thinking of, you know, what is the gift I am going to receive? But when it came to Swami, it was the other way around. Almost like every birthday, Swami was wondering, what can I give to the devotees and the entire world? The other way of looking at it is, you know, when we look at our own birthdays, we probably have milestones which we have for ourselves. By 25, I should have graduated, I should have finished my master's. By 30, I should be, in
married
a certain position,
settled.
Married and settled. Like, as they say, I should have a house of my own, I should have a car. By 45, I should be a vice president. You know, we have all of these worldly successes as the milestones that we lay out for our own lives. And that's how we measure our own birthdays. But you look at Swami's birthday, almost like every birthday, especially these major birthdays of which come every 5 years, Swami was, in his point of view, stepping up the game, so to say. Because almost every birthday, Swami was literally surprising all of us with what he was establishing. To really think of it, sometimes, you know, when my birthday comes, I think, this birthday, what Swami did when he was the same age, right?
Oh my God.
Nothing can be demotivating than that. Because when Swami was 29 years old, Swami established the General Hospital. 1954, Swami laid the foundation stone for the General Hospital. And thereafter, every birthday, Swami was doing something which was so phenomenal. Probably the most dramatic as an announcement and as what followed was what happened during the 65th birthday, the year 1990. Because Swami stunned everybody by an announcement that he made. And even though by then Swami had phenomenally performed miracles and in a large scale, individually in the lives of devotees at the same time for the whole world to see, even then what Swami announced during 65th birthday was quite incredible. People were not ready to believe it, and people were not ready to believe it even after it materialized. You can say that. But we would like to again play for you a short clip, dear listeners, where the dramatic announcement and the even more dramatic things that followed are captured. Some of you might have seen these videos again. Why, we have seen it so many times, but it does not stop to thrill us even now. You know, we've seen this any number of times, but when we see it, it fills us with so much positivity. And, you know, this is what Swami represents in our life. When we think of Swami, this is the courage and this is the positivity that our lives must be filled with. So we're going to play for you the short video. Watch this. Enjoy the positivity, as we said, that this video oozes with. And we'll continue after that.
That morning, in the course of his birthday message, in typical Sai fashion and with high drama, Swami made a stunning announcement.
Ye vidyalayam nirminchina, ye vidyalayam nirminchina, vyaparam vyaparam vyaparam. Kani uchitanga bidalanu chusi karuninchetundi vyakti kanipinchatam ledu. కనుక పల్లని ఎందే ఇలాంటి పవిత్రమైన యొక్క శక్తిని అభివృద్ధి పరచాలని చెప్పిన సంకల్పించుకొని 100 కోట్ల వ్యయం చేత మన ప్రశాంతి నియమందు ఒక విధమైన వైద్యాలయం స్థాపించడానికి ప్రయత్నించాము.
గుండె జబ్బు వస్తే కొన్ని లక్షలు వ్యయం చేసి అమెరికాకు వెళుతున్నారు. వీళ్ళ గతి ఏమిటి?
అమెరికా
వారిని చూసేటువంటి వారెవరు? పట్టణానికి వెళితే కలర్ నీళ్లైనా వాళ్ళ ముఖాలు కొట్టరు. అలాంటి దురవస్థను గుర్తించి మనము ఇక్కడ ఒక పెద్ద వైద్యాలయాన్ని నిర్మించాము. బైపాస్ సర్జరీ కానీ లేక కిడ్నీ మార్చడం కానీ లంగ్స్ ఆపరేషన్ చేయటం కానీ బ్రెయిన్ ఆపరేషన్ చేయటం కానీ అన్ని ఉచితంగానే. ప్రారంభోత్సవం కూడా అప్పుడే నిర్ణయించుకున్నాం. 91 నవంబర్ 22 ఇది ప్రారంభోత్సవం చేస్తాం.
It was an electrifying moment that sent everyone to dizzy heights. Actually, Swami had already blessed the groundbreaking ceremony the previous day, that is, 22nd November 1990. Mr. Keith Critchlow, a renowned architect from England who was in charge of the architectural design, was asked to rush the drawings so that construction could be completed well in time for the inauguration, set for 22nd November 1991. Notwithstanding all this, many still had grave doubts about Swami's new and ambitious project. After all, Puttaparthi at that time was still very much a village. Who could imagine a world-class hospital in a rural habitat like Puttaparthi, offering advanced medical care, and that too completely free for one and all? April 1991. Swami was in Kodaikanal, happily surrounded by his students, and without a care in the world. Swami's party included late Colonel Joga Rao, a senior member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. One day in Kodaikanal, Joga Rao looked very depressed. When Swami asked what was the matter, Colonel Joga Rao said, "Swami, you have announced that a huge world-class hospital would be built. But where is the money? And we have just a few months before the planned inauguration." Swami calmly replied, "Joga Rao, it was I who announced that the hospital would be established, not you. Who are you to worry about what I have declared to be my goal? When Sai says that something would be done, be sure it would be done. Money or no money, hospital construction did start. After all, it was all about pure love, was it not? God might have made the plans, but at the human level, He always allows things to happen in the way they usually happen in the world, complete with problems that humans normally encounter. 5 out of the 12 months assigned to the project were taken up in just preparing the drawings, leaving a mere 7 months to create a world-class super specialty hospital from scratch, and that too in a village. Accepting the challenge, the construction engineers worked furiously, racing against time. Nevertheless, there was cause for concern about meeting the deadline. On 2nd September 1991, with less than 3 months to go for the inauguration, the construction appeared to be far behind schedule. Things did not improve, and as D-Day approached, there was much anxiety and tension. Some even doubted if the inauguration would take place on 22nd November 1991, as Swami had predicted. Dr. Safaya, director of the hospital, recalls those difficult moments.
The hospital was to be inaugurated on 22nd. 2 days before, I came, I gave up, and I fell down on my bed at about 12 o'clock in the night. I said I cannot go any further because the hospital will not be ready to be inaugurated and operations have to be done. The conditions are not sterile. Scientifically, we are not ready. So I have failed my master, I told my wife, and I started weeping in my bed. She got alarmed and then she encouraged me that if you believe Swami is a God, He will do something, don't worry. The divine sankalpa has to be completed and it shall get completed.
Yes, finally things did happen exactly as Swami had foretold 1 year in advance. In anticipation of the landmark event, Swami's students were chanting Vedas and sanctifying the atmosphere. Swami was in a wonderful mood, going here and there, supervising and giving last-minute instructions. Shortly before 9 in the morning of the appointed day, Prime Minister Mr. P.V. Narasimha Rao flew in from Delhi. There was no speech making, and without any fanfare, the hospital was declared open by the Prime Minister. Meanwhile, a patient had already been prepared for surgery and was on the operating table waiting for the divine signal. With a gesture of blessings from Swami, the surgeons proceeded to write a new and glorious chapter in the history of healthcare for the poor. Next day, 23rd November 1991, while delivering his traditional birthday discourse, Swami stunned the world with his announcement that the Puttaparthi Super Speciality Hospital was no longer a dream, but a concrete reality.
మూడు గంటల లోపల నాలుగు పెద్ద ఆపరేషన్ అంతా జరిగాయి. ఒకటి చాలా కాంప్లికేటెడ్ ఆపరేషన్, ఆ హార్ట్ లోపల రంధ్రం ఉంటుండాలి. అలాంటి ఆపరేషన్ కూడా సక్సెస్ అయిపోయింది, అందరూ క్షేమంగా ఉన్నారు.
Exactly 1 year earlier, when Swami made the historic announcement, not many believed that what Swami said would actually come true. Even a few weeks prior to the historic event, there were many doubting Thomases. All those doubts arose because, deluded by the human form of the avatar, most people failed to see the power of the divine hidden in that so-called human form. Faithless humans might have had doubts, but when the Sai avatar declares that he is going to do something, it would be done. No question about that. Swami does not execute projects by magic, but by using the power of pure love. Where there is pure love, there is firm determination. Where there is firm determination, there is abundant self-confidence. And where there is self-confidence, there is success. That is one of the many messages that repeatedly comes through every one of Swami's missions.
Every time I watch this video, I feel so overwhelmed, I feel so touched, and I also feel so small, because, you know, every time my birthday comes, I think about what is it that I'm going to get, and I wish that with each passing birthday, I get things which are bigger and bigger and bigger. And my Lord, on the other hand, with each passing birthday, He kept thinking about what He can give, and what He gave got bigger and bigger and bigger. Prem, we are on the threshold of the 95th birthday celebrations of that superhuman divine, our dear Swami. What is it that we can possibly do for Swami as our offering on the 95th birthday?
Well, just thinking about this question and thinking for ourselves, I don't think we will conclude it and answer and then we can give a gift. I think it's a lifelong effort, to say the least. But I'm reminded of a very beautiful and profound incident narrated by one of our seniors. This happened in Kodaikanal. I think Swami had taken him for the first time. Mm-hmm. So one day Swami walked up to where he was sitting, and Swami materialized vibhuti for one of the devotees or one of the students who was there. And we all know that was a cue that after Swami gives that vibhuti, one of the boys would get up with a handkerchief for Swami to wipe his hands. We've seen that scene so many times. So one of the boys in the group got up with a handkerchief and he offered it to Swami. Swami takes it, wipes his hand, and looks at this particular brother who narrated this episode to us and asks him, "You don't have an handkerchief? You don't have to offer to Swami?" He said, "No, Swami, I don't have." Right? Then Swami said, "Okay." And Swami walked off. The next day, Swami came to the same boy in front of him, again materialized vibhuti for somebody else. And again, another student got up and offered a handkerchief to Swami. And Swami again looks at this boy. "Handkerchief nahi hai?
Don't have handkerchief?
You don't have a handkerchief?" He said, "No, Swami." And then finally it dawns to him that probably Swami is hinting, "Why don't you have a handkerchief? You can give it to me." So he said, "No, Swami, I don't have." Swami said, "Okay." And Swami just walked ahead and then turned back, and then Swami said, "I will give you a handkerchief. You can keep it in your pocket and you can give me whenever I ask."
Bah.
So this boy was very happy. Swami went away, and then Swami, later that day, Swami got a bunch of handkerchiefs, which the boys had kept for Swami's use in Swami's room. Swami gives it to this boy, and then Swami says, "You keep this, and when I ask, you give me." So this boy religiously takes those handkerchiefs, puts it in his luggage, and one handkerchief neatly folded, he puts in his pocket. The next session, or the next day, I'm not too sure, Swami walks up again to where this boy is sitting. And this time, Swami wipes his mouth with his sleeve, right? That's a gesture we've seen Swami doing very beautifully. He would just wipe like that. In fact, that is another occasion where it's a cue that somebody should offer a handkerchief to Swami. So Swami does this. Then Swami looks at this boy, and this boy is again looking at Swami, and Swami says, "I gave you a handkerchief, still you are not offering it to me." And this boy was protesting in his mind. He said, "Swami, but you said only when I ask you should give. You didn't ask me." And then Swami went away, and this boy was thinking about what happened. And then it occurred to him that when Swami said, "When I ask, you should give," it is not necessarily that Swami will come and tell you, "Do this for me." Right? Swami will drop a hint. Swami will give a subtle indication. And so he felt mad that he missed that opportunity. So the next day, this time, he was all attention on Swami. He said, "When Swami gives the slightest indication, I should be able to offer this handkerchief to Swami." But Swami comes, deliberately stands before him, and again does the same gesture of wiping his mouth. So immediately this boy gets up and offers that handkerchief to Swami. And Swami takes it, wipes his mouth, and then Swami gives it back to him, and Swami says, "Good boy." Right? Because a lesson has been learnt. So this boy gratefully takes the handkerchief, and even as he puts it back into his pocket, a shiny new watch slips out of that handkerchief that Swami had handed to him into his pocket.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
And then Swami walks ahead, turns back and gives him a sweet smile. So reflecting on this episode, that boy said, you know, here is Swami standing in front of us. Swami is day in and day out serving each one of us as an example. But we are dumb that we are not able to take that example from Swami. Swami in all his mercy comes and says, I will tell you how to sanctify your life. I will tell you how to serve. And then he teaches us. And still we are not intelligent enough to understand and learn from that. Patiently again and again Swami teaches the same lesson. And after having taught the lesson so patiently, when you finally learn it, the same Swami rewards us. What have we done in this whole process to be rewarded? But that's Swami's love, that's Swami's beauty. And I think there is no other way you can celebrate Swami's birthday than by internalizing Swami's message. How else can you celebrate Swami's message, Swami's life, than to make our lives reflect that Swami's message? Not only what he spoke, but what he lived. And he demonstrated us, you know, just like it happened to that boy. Standing in front of us, he demonstrated it day in and day out. And if we don't learn the lesson now, when will we learn it? I really don't know. I think so. That is the only effort which is worthwhile to make as a birthday offering to Swami.
Yeah, we may feel that we are not able to travel to Prashanthi Nilayam, we are not able to travel to our center. No problem. Because I think this whole situation has been created so that we internalize Swami, as you rightly put it. You know, on the 24th of April 2011, it was such a sad, sorrowful thing. But it had such a profound message. So too now, we feel that we have been cut off, we are not even able to celebrate Swami's birthday. But like the man who was pushing the rock, I think we are not able to understand the purpose behind each of these. And the closest we can come to understanding is probably that Swami wants us to internalize him. I am reminded of a beautiful experience that was narrated by Ratanlal Aunty, Ratanlal Amma as Swami used to call her. She came to Bhagwan in the 1960s and she had the privilege of cooking for Swami for 4 decades. Swami had himself taught her how to cook, telling her how to prepare the masalas, taught her everything, and he has, you know, a very, very special place for her in his heart, because she has a very special place for him in her heart. And she had narrated this episode of how in the 2009 or 10, I don't know which year exactly, one day when she was inside and the food was being served, she would not be present because Swami would be dining with the other people whom he has invited and she would be manning the kitchen. Swami sent for her. And when Swami sent for her, she arrives there and in front of everybody, Swami starts telling Ratanlal Amma, no, Mrs. Ratanlal, morning she got up, she came, she wanted to make something for Swami. Coffee, tea she wanted to make. And then as she enters the kitchen, she saw a cockroach. And immediately she felt, oh, how can a cockroach be there? She summoned her help. You know, there is this lady, Miss Lakshmi, who used to be help for Ratanlal Amma. And she summoned her. Swami said that. She summoned her. But then she knows that this lady will come and kill that cockroach. She doesn't want to kill the cockroach because she feels Swami is in the cockroach. So she takes one cloth, gives one cloth to her and says, come, let us catch this cockroach. And for 15 minutes, two elderly ladies in one small kitchen going behind a cockroach, chasing it behind the cylinders, behind the gas, behind the fridge. And as Swami is narrating this, all the others at the dining table are laughing and Ratanlal Aunty is standing there. She is also smiling. And Swami is saying all this she does and suddenly she realizes that it is time now. It is getting late. So she says, let that cockroach be. Don't know where it is. Leave it. And she gets back to cooking. Correct? And she said, yes. And then, you know, when she was narrating this incident, she said that definitely what Swami said brought a lot of joy, mirth and humor to everyone. But she said, for me, I just realized that when we think Swami has become so frail, Swami has become so weak, Swami is confined to a wheelchair, such a Swami is there every second watching what we do even before we get up, he's there. That is the presence of Swami in our life. And she said that my only desire is that I should never forget this and I want to lead every moment of my life in his presence because that is the truth. Today I think that message is even more poignant, because this is a time when we think that Swami is physically not here. How do I do? You know, I listen to all these stories, it's so magnificent, but how do I get this because Swami is not physically here? Yad bhavam tad bhavati, Swami would say. And that is what it is. I think if we can internalize Swami and make Him part of our whole day, let us rise. And even if we don't know Suprabhatam, let us get up along with Bhagwan. Let us picture Swami waking up along with us. Let us wake up along with Him. As we brush our teeth and as we have our bath, let us think that we are doing Abhishekam to Deham, Deho Devalaya Prokto, Swami would say. The body is the temple of God. And even as we have breakfast, let us feed Swami. I think making Swami a part of our whole day, that would be the best way to internalize Him, feel His presence. And I am convinced, Prem, from personal experience and from the experience of so many others whom we have heard here, that once we internalize Him, we will see Him. We will have His darshan every day, wherever we are, in whichever corner of the earth. And I think that would be a wonderful birthday gift to give Him, because as we started off in the beginning, whatever Swami tells us that He seeks as a birthday gift is for our own benefit.
Now, I'm just reminded of a incident which I heard from one of the former primary school children.
Hmm.
We all know that Swami would come to the primary school every now and then, and for every small reason Swami would find it a good chance to come there. So somebody had got a giant wheel to be installed in the playground at the primary school. So Swami came as excited as the other children to come and install and inaugurate the giant wheel. So after coming there, Swami said, so who's going to inaugurate? You know, some children have to get into that. So Swami picked three or four of the small tiny kids over there. And Swami said, okay, all of you get in. So this brother of ours, a senior of mine, was narrating this episode. He was saying, so he had never been on a giant wheel before. As a child, he was excited. Swami has picked him. So he got into the giant wheel. And then it started rotating.
Hmm.
So for the first few seconds, he was excited. Then it started going a little faster. After a while, when it was in full swing, and this boy lost it, he started screaming and crying, and Swami standing there, and he said, Swami, Swami, stop it, save me, stop this, stop this. And he was literally crying, and when he looked down, Swami was laughing, right? Swami was having a good time laughing at this whole scene, but this boy was not able to control himself. He was so worried, and he was crying. Finally, the thing stopped. And this boy came, and for a moment he was thinking, why is Swami laughing? I'm in so much trouble, and I'm crying out like this. And finally Swami calls that boy, and then Swami says, how can you ever think that when I'm standing here, something can go wrong with you? Something can happen in your life, right? So this boy said, as a small boy, to get that message from Swami, Swami was saying that how can you ever think that anything can go wrong in my life when I'm standing next to you? And I think this is something that all of us have to remember. As you said, if we believe that Swami is part of our life, it should reflect as fearlessness, as not having any kind of worry in our life, right? That is the best way we can establish Swami's presence in our life.
Time just flies when we talk about Swami. We are really grateful to Swami for giving this opportunity to think of Him, because to think of Him, to feel Him, to love Him, that is also His blessing. With gratitude to Bhagwan, thank you. Jai Sai Ram.